right. Welcome to our listeners. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Scoliosis Dialogues. I'm John Voorhees, and I'm from Stanford, and I'll be your host again for this episode. Today, I'll be joined by Dr. Serena Hu, who's the current president of the Scoliosis Research Society. I had the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Hu at our annual meeting last year. And so now I get the chance to interview her again as our annual meeting approaches in Seattle this year. And I'm going to chat with her a little bit about how her year went. So welcome to the podcast.
Hi, great to see you.
Thank you, thank you. So just to give the listeners and viewing audience a bit of background, if you didn't hear the first podcast, so for our background, or at least my background and how it relates to Serena Hu, so she joined the faculty of Stanford while I was a resident. So I got the opportunity to work with her as a resident. And then when I joined the faculty 6 years ago, I still get a chance to work with her. Her practice is mostly adult deformity, and mine's almost entirely pediatrics. But we still get the chance to do some interesting cases together. I invite her in for some cool cases, so I get the benefit of her expertise, and we get to work together. And for a personal plug, if there are any listeners out there who are not doing this, I highly recommend considering double scrubbing with some of your colleagues. I don't know how you've felt about it, Serena, but I think it's just super beneficial for me and for our patients too, because I think we make better decisions together.
I totally agree. I mean, I so enjoy working with you. And it's just, again, it's two attending surgery, but so it's, I think, more efficient for many of the patients. And I don't do that all the time because I think it detracts from the training program. But I think for complex cases, it really lowers the stress level, makes it better for the patient. And just working with somebody as talented as John has just always been and very enjoyable and very rewarding to me also.
Oh, too kind. Yeah, no, we joke about it. We say everyone wins except for the resident.
Right.
But it's not always true, but that's an interesting thing to discuss because, you know, I think different institutions do it in different ways. But I think the way you said where it's not every case that we're double scrubbing, it's the occasional case. And I think as a trainee, you probably learn a little bit from how two attendings interact in a way that you would learn, you know, a little bit differently than just watching somebody do it how they always do it.
Right. Well, and I actually think that there's a lot to be, this is getting a little bit off topic here, but there's a lot to be learned from even watching somebody do the surgery, even though you want to be doing it, you know? So I think it's hard watching all the time, obviously, but it's good to watch sometimes and just appreciate the good and bad things that they do and learn from those.
Yeah. Especially for a higher level trainee like a fellow. That's key. Cool. All right. So I got a few softball questions for you again. Very similar to the list of softballs I gave you before. But so thank you very much, first of all, for taking time to talk to us and then for also taking a year out of your busy practice to serve as SRS president. How many countries did you visit this year?
Oh, boy. Probably five or six. I could actually count them down, but yeah, there were a few more than usual. Added to that mileage club.
Yeah, I bet. Great. So I just wanted you to maybe give some recap of some of the high points. Tell me about what you think are some of your proudest accomplishments from this year as president.
I think, I guess the thing that I'm most proud is the leadership program that we'll be starting. We have a kickoff, a half-day course coming up this meeting, and I think it's something, the topic of leadership development and education has always been near and dear to my heart, partly from my time at the AOA where that's kind of their motto, but also bringing it over to the SRS, which is an international society, includes not just orthopedic surgeons, but neurosurgeons and researchers. And also, you know, recognizing that it's something that I think for the SRS is really important for our future to fill the pipeline with people who are talented, give them the skills or help them develop the skills to help us build the SRS for the future. And I think we're also trying to make sure that our participants have a diverse background, that it's not the usual same people that we always look at, and making sure that we look for people that might, you know, be early enough in their career that they're not that recognized or might not have separate mentors on their own, people from different countries, people from different backgrounds. And I think all those things will allow people to have the opportunity to learn to lead, to have experience leading, and I think, again, will be the future of our society.
Awesome. Yeah, so leadership development's a big theme, you know, right now in a lot of different societies. And right. So maybe you can tell me, you know, if you're a member of AOA or if you're a member of POSNA, if you're a member of NAS or many other societies, often people are who are members of SRS are members of many other societies as mm-hmm. well. So what is the leadership course at SRS going to add that is its own spin? Like what does it have to offer that others don't?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of, I think hopefully there'll be some redundancy. You know, leadership is a skill that translates across specialties. And I've had lots of business people teach me leadership in the past. And I think it's, you don't have to have a medical example to learn about leadership. So there's going to be a lot of overlap. I think the way we've structured the course is to look at it in terms of particularly what the structure of the SRS is, you know, how people grow within SRS, and that obviously can apply across your home institution or your home country as well. And also taking into account the talent that we have at the SRS, which I think is really important. I think POSNA is doing something similar, but again, aimed at you know, that membership. And I think, again, there's overlap, but I think the fact that you'll be with a cohort that's part of the SRS and working together, I think, is valuable. There have been other courses that I've been part of where they're much more, like taking an individual online course, for example, I don't think has the ability to collaborate and interact with other people from the SRS that have the same clinical interests and the same organizational interests. So I think that's one of the distinct advantages is I think people at the SRS really like going to the SRS and being with other members of the SRS. And so I think that's part of the plus is having the program built around members from the SRS, taught by people from the SRS. There'll be some outside speakers, but that'll include like some of the industry people that we work with or some of the people haven't been confirmed yet, but I think you'll see how they're connected to the SRS and understand the SRS. And that's one of the key things, right? You can take a business course that's aimed at business people, and you have to pull it in and relate it to your workday world or your SRS world. Sometimes takes a little bit more imagination, but since it's going to be people that know the SRS, I think it'll be a lot easier to apply the lessons and learn how to be most effective within the SRS.
So skills-based, relevant to your practice, and then also some awesome networking opportunities with,
yeah,
with important people in our society, huh?
Right.
Cool. Okay, so then more about your year. So tell me something new you learned.
I think I learned a lot about I hadn't had probably not traveled as much as some of the past presidents may have had, trying to say limit, you know, time away from the family, for example. And I know you can relate to that and wanting to prioritize and make sure that, I don't want to say get your money's worth, but make sure it's a valuable experience, not just to go give a talk or whatever. So I think that having the opportunities to travel and interact more internationally for one, but just generally really, number one, helped me appreciate how carefully thought out many of the SRS courses outside of the US are and the networking we have. So I think that was really important. I think when you participate in courses, a lot of times you don't see the kind of work that goes into making them successful. And seeing the range of how the different courses worked and how successful some were and some were less successful, but mostly they've been very successful and they could have areas for improvement. I think that really opened my eyes a lot from the standpoint of understanding what it took to make a successful meeting, particularly with the SRS, because again, we have our flagship meeting, our annual meeting, and we have IMAST, and those take obviously a ton of work. But even the smaller regional meetings and worldwide courses and surgical current concepts courses, they take a lot of work to be successful. And it's not just having a lot of people show up. It's also looking at the finances and looking at the involvement of the local faculty. And you can't just swoop in as SRS, leadership and give a talk and expect the course to work. You've got to basically get the right people who are involved enough running the course. So that was, I think, something that I clearly knew, but seeing it in action was really very, very beneficial, I think, from the standpoint of understanding more about the SRS and the importance in the world for spine deformity education.
Yeah, so that's a big part of what SRS does, right? So there's the big meetings, but then these regional meetings that focus really on current concepts and education. Mm-hmm. So what you mentioned, like a couple, like successful things and unsuccessful things. So what are the keys to a successful educational meeting, and what can we take away from that?
Yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer. It's just having a course chair or co-chairs that are committed to making the meeting work and understand that it's not just putting out an agenda, assigning people talks, and that's the course. It's really getting people involved, making sure that the talks are well integrated, making sure if there's a lab, for example, making sure that those are set up well, making sure that the speakers are engaged and represent things. And I think having, I hate to say this because it means more work for people like me, which is that having people talk about not their kind of canned talk is actually, I think, a plus because you hear different viewpoints. You know, I mean, it's easy for me to give another version of a talk that I've given before, but it's not as fresh, for example. And I don't have to think about it as much. And I think having us talk about topics that may not be part of our typical, you know, sort of library, for example, I think it freshens it up. It makes us look at the literature more, makes us look at our cases more. And I think that just makes it more lively. And I think that's fun. And then, of course, you know, directing our talks for the audience at hand is important. One of the other things that I think in the U.S. we get very jaded about is we think we do the best surgery because we think we're so advanced. But one of the other things that's fascinating traveling around is how many other countries do things differently and many times better. And again, that's part of SRS being global and wanting to bring the best spine deformity surgeons and practitioners into the fold. But it's great to see that firsthand and just, you know, wow, they do this there and that makes so much more sense and I can bring that back to my practice kind of thing. So.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. That's one of the big benefits of being able to be involved in an international society is you get to see the way things are done differently. Maybe you could give an example of something that, you know, you or I might see in our Stanford practice that you saw taken care of in a very different but effective way somewhere else.
Oh boy, I was afraid you're going to say that because that means I have to kind of comb through all the different examples and figure out which ones. I can't remember one offhand. I remember being struck by several in my travels, and so I'm sorry I can't remember a specific one. But they were
navigation
some great
and
talks.
Robots.
Wow, pardon?
Navigation and robots.
Actually, we are much more in the U.S. We do a lot more navigation and robots than other countries do because they're so expensive. You know, healthcare in the U.S. is so much more expensive, and so as a part of that, we build in that expense of those things, and most countries don't rely on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about monitoring practices? Did you find that was like pretty standard in all the places you went to this year?
Well, so we didn't talk about monitoring that much, but interestingly enough, I did a mission trip this year, which was unrelated to my SRS travel, but did involve another SRS member, Ted Bellinger. And they went to Ethiopia, and there is no neuromonitoring availability, and they can't do a wake-up test. And I think the smallest deformity might have been 100 degrees. The smallest VCR for TB was 3 levels. And knock on wood, we only had one patient with a appreciable deficit, and she was recovering. You know, she was walking by the time we left, but she still needed a walker. So everybody else woke up intact. So we get very dependent on that. But I several times during those cases wanted to say, well, can you check the signals? And there's nobody there checking signals. I can't do a wake-up test. And you just have to be really, really careful. And, wow. You know, and to the point of, hey, you have to get the anesthesiologist, you have to remind the anesthesiologist to transfuse the patient or keep the blood pressure where you want it. So very, very dependent on the surgeon. And you can't get away with as much. So you really have to do things according to what, not try to get away with stuff. You just have to do what's the safest for the patient.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, as you know, I worked with a lot of great surgeons in Central America well. And one of the things that I talk about when I work with them is how the tools that I have at my disposal affect my decision-making. You know, if I know that I can get, if I have, you know, a prosthetist and I can get somebody a prosthetic, you know, the decision that I have about, you know, this is away from spine, but decision you might have with somebody about, you know, limb salvage versus amputation might be very different, you know? And if you know that you have a navigation tool at hand, your choice of anchors and your choice of levels might be different. And if you know that you have neuromonitoring, then, you know, the intervention that you designed for a severe deformity might be different than if you don't.
Right. Totally. And so we didn't do any VCRs for scoliosis. We only did it for TB, which arguably is a little bit safer because you've only got one plane and you're not as likely to like kink the cord in the pedicle, residual pedicle, for example, in your concavity. So that's something I don't think you could do multiplanar VCRs in a place that didn't have neuromonitoring or wake up tests. I mean, if you need something, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe so as you wrap up, maybe you can tell us what's next for you. So you're still on the board. You're going to be the immediate past president. So what are your responsibilities for this coming year?
So one of the wonderful things about the SRS is the depth of the talent. And the incoming president, as you know, is Marina Stukliver, and he is just so incredibly talented and hardworking. So I look forward to basically seeing him in this role, doing a far better job than I have. He's just so organizationally talented. He's so forward thinking. He's already making some innovations for next year that are long overdue, but he kind of saw that these needed to be made. And so I think that's really great that he is. I think all the presidential lines will tell you that they work together really well. And I do think that this is one that has been particularly productive from the standpoint of all the people on it have different, bring a, obviously a lot of the same skills, but sort of a different balance of skills. And so we've all complemented each other really well. So I think sitting back and being sort of the historical context person is the past president usually is, and reminding people how things were in the past and why we don't want to do the same thing over again because we tried it before, but maybe this is the right time for it, for example. So I think there's a lot to be said for needing the past president to be involved and keeping a perspective, but also helping forward the agenda of the next president and presidents.
Yeah. You going to get some more time to take care of patients at Stanford too?
I am trying to limit my travel so severely. The rest of my division will not know what's happened. It's like, where'd she come from?
Great. Well, we'll look forward to seeing more of you around here.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
It's going to be nice to sleep at home more.
Sounds good. Okay. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. Do you have any parting words that you want to share with our audience?
No, I mean, the SRS is just such a wonderful society. Getting to, you know, as part of the presidential line, we can listen in and or participate on almost any committee call. And so at the beginning, I was trying hard to listen in on as many as I could to kind of understand what was going on. And we have some really great, talented people, which I know, but it's watching them in action and watching the things that have been done Ron Alwari working on the communications task force, for example, yourself doing podcasts, Doug Burton and Justin Smith working on the app for SRS. I mean, all the things that have been happening this year that I've been watching kind of evolve. And this, I mean, at the new web, I can just name dozens of people that have just been working so hard and just having great ideas. So I'm sorry I can't mention them all here, but I'll mention them in my talk because I have pictures to remind myself of them. But it's just a great group of people. I really have enjoyed getting to know them.
Yep. It's fun to work with a bunch of smart, dedicated people who share your goals.
Exactly. Appreciate that. The passion that we all bring to the SRS and taking care of scoliosis patients is really, really inspiring.
Awesome. Well, we'll look forward to your talk.
Thank you. Thanks for the time today.
Yeah. All right. And thanks, everybody, for joining us. And we'll see you at the upcoming annual meeting.
Bye. See you.
The Scoliosis Research Society is a nonprofit professional organization made up of physicians and allied health personnel. Their primary focus is on providing continuing medical education for healthcare professionals and on funding and supporting research in spinal deformities. Please visit srs.org for further information.